Good singing, y'all. That was great. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, page 842 in your Red Pew Bibles. We are in, we're going to go back to Luke. We took a little detour last Sunday for Pentecost, but we are in this section of Luke where Jesus has laid down the call of discipleship to his followers, starting off by saying, if you want to be my disciple, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about how there are some distractions to following Jesus as he laid them out. One of those distractions was we can be distracted by our national identity. And we could be distracted by living a comfortable life or cultural and family obligations. Or we can be distracted by our past and keep wanting to turn back. And Jesus said, listen, you can't do that. When you follow me, you go all in. You can't just put your toe in the water and see how it feels. And then if it gets too uncomfortable, you bail. You don't follow Jesus halfway. You go all in to following him. And there's a reason why he has laid out these such high and lofty demands in this serious commitment is because he's got a job for his disciples to do. You have ever have anybody tell you, man, have I got a job for you? All right, this is what Jesus is saying. He's going through this recruitment period, and it's like he's speaking as the Marines. He's looking for a few good men and a few good women for the job that he has. And he's going to go into describing it here in Luke chapter 10. So let's start in verse 1. But before we do, let's pray, okay? God, as we jump into your word this morning, you want to show us stuff. You want to show us how to get along in this world. You want to show us how awesome you are. You want to show us what's wrong with us and how, what we can do to make it right. Lord, you want us to become more like Jesus because that is where the abundant life is that he spoke about. And so, Lord, for the next few minutes, we ask your spirit to move in this place and to limit the distractions outside of us, the distractions inside of us, the thinking that the things that we have to do and that we're worried about. Lord, we just ask you to take over and that you would guide our thoughts that we might learn what you want us to learn, that we might become more like Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Okay, Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Luke writes this, after this, which means after this call to discipleship that he just giving them, after the discussion about all the distractions to watch out for them, he says, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go! I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it'll return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking, whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this. The kingdom of God has come near. We'll stop right there. I read from time to time, or see instances of it, where musicians and bands from my youth are still going out doing concert tours.
Praise the Lord.
He's been there, right? I'm not going to mention the bands that Chris goes and sees, but I'm talking guys I used to listen to, like Bruce Springsteen and Billy Joel and Bob Dylan. And these guys are in their late 60s, 70s, 80s, out doing a farewell tour, one last opportunity to see your favorite band live. Jesus is doing something similar here. Remember, we talked about a couple weeks ago that he had set it in his mind that now was the time to go to Jerusalem, and he was going to go to the cross, and he was going to die. And so now he's heading to Jerusalem with a purpose. And so this is it. This is the time. And so what he's doing here is he's preparing the towns and villages that are going to be on the way so that everybody will be receptive to his message when he gets there. And so these 72 disciples are kind of like concert promoters, okay? They're getting everybody ready for Jesus' farewell tour. And so Jesus lays out these specific instructions, right? I want you to go out in pairs. Don't greet anyone. That means I want you to be focused. I don't want you to take a purse or a bag. No extra money. You need to rely on God through the hospitality of other people. You're putting your trust in God. Find some welcoming, friendly people to stay with. I don't want you moving around from house to house, right? You stay in one house, you find out that somebody else over here has a pool. Well, let's go stay with him. Jesus said, no, that ruins your integrity, right? And so now, as I mention all this, as we read this, you may be thinking, hey, wait a minute. Didn't we just talk about this a couple weeks ago? I mean, we kind of, you know, and if you go back to the beginning of chapter 9, you'll find out that Jesus had set out the same sort of training for the 12 disciples as he sent them out. And here, though, we have 72. Jesus selected 72. And there are some scholars that look at that number 72 and say, why did he pick 72? And some say, well, maybe in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 10, there is what's called the Table of Nations, which lists all the nations at that time that were on the earth. And so they're thinking, you know what? This is Jesus' way. This is Luke's way of saying that I want to have everybody to be reached here. Okay? And so if you are a follower of Jesus, and so Luke is writing to you, as you're reading this, you are part of the 72 that is tasked of going out into the world and preparing them to receive Jesus. And so one of the things we can say is this isn't just in a historical account. This Jesus has a job for us. Jesus has a purpose and a mission for each one of us. And so how do we carry out this mission that Jesus has for us? And I think the key verse is verse 5 here. And I kind of want to drill into verse 5 because Jesus said this. He gives them this instruction. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. Now, here's the first step. If we're going to follow this mission that Jesus has for us, this is the first step. You got to have the peace of Jesus in you. You got to have the peace of Jesus in you. Folks, there are a lot of people that say they are a Christian, that say they follow a Jesus, but just do not have the peace of Jesus inside of them. Earlier this week, on Monday, I was off. And my daughter Kara and I said, hey, I've got some errands I want to run. I'm going to go shopping. You want to come with me? Yeah, Dad, I'll go with you. So I had everything lined out of what I was going to do. I was going to leave at 9 o'clock because I go shopping first. I go to Kroger and I hit all the woohoos. Yeah, you know what the woohoos are. It's where you get all the discounted stuff on Monday morning from the weekend that didn't sell, right? So I want to get there early and make sure I can get what I can. And so, leave, get there early. So 9 o'clock rolls around, let's go. I said, okay, time. I'm going, hey, where's my keys? And it hit me. My keys were in Diana's car, who already went to work. And I tried contacting her, and I couldn't get, she's teaching, so she's not answering her phone, And so now, the guy who likes his ducks in a row, and all of a sudden they're blown. So what, and so if it had been a couple years ago, I'd have just been kind of ballistic, like, just go crazy, right? I managed to just say, okay, I had a couple things that I was going to do today. I'll do these other things first. And it turns out that then Diana came and it only was 2 hours late. But I say all that to make a point. This is how we know if we have the peace of Jesus in our life. How do you react when you have a disruption in your life? This is how we know. How do you react when things don't go your way? How do you react when somebody upsets you, get mad with somebody, you get angry, do you hold a grudge? How do you react whenever health issues come? Get antsy and worried and anxious. Do you get angry over our political situation that's going on? You just, why do they act like that? The best way for you to evaluate if you have the peace of Jesus, I think, is doing this. Is you look at the fruits of the Spirit. Mark, go ahead and put that up. You look at the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Fruit, there we go. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. After somebody does you wrong, are you loving? Are you joyful? Do you have peace? I think the middle three are big, right? Are you patient? Are you kind and gentle? That's a big one, especially when things don't go your way. Are you kind and gentle towards people? Because if you aren't, you really don't have the peace of Jesus ruling in your life. Do you have self-control? You see, one of the things that Jesus has promised to us whenever he takes over our life is that he says, I will give you peace. John chapter 14, verse 27, we talked about this last week. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And then John 16:33. This is another one of my favorite verses. You could mark down. Greg's favorite verse, right? Like John 10:10, John 16:33. Jesus said this. Now just let this settle into you, okay? I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have what?
Trouble.
In this world you will have what?
Trouble.
But take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen. If we are ever going to say amen to any sort of scripture, that's the one we're going to say it to. Right? Jesus. A lot of Christians don't act like Jesus has overcome the world. We live in fear. We live in worry, anxiety. We live in anger the way the world is. So the big question is, okay, we can look at that Galatians 5:22 and we can realize, oh man, I fail here. And I'm not gentle and I don't have self-control. How do we get the peace of Jesus in us? We humble ourselves. And we give total control of our life over to Jesus. Total control. We make Jesus the boss and the Lord of our life. We don't just say, oh yeah, I'm on team Jesus. I like Jesus. Out of all the gods out there, I think he's the best. That's not what he's talking about here. He's calling us to Lord, to make him the boss of our life. And so what that means is that we run everything about our life through him first. The way that we spend our money, the way that we spend our time, the things that we are entertained by, even our politics, right? We run our politics through him. Is this aligned with the teachings and the character of Jesus? And when we do that, we will have the peace of Jesus. And so we really can't go out on this mission that Jesus has for us. We will not be effective unless we have the peace of Jesus in us. Number two, verse 5. And Jesus said this: when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it'll return to you. So someone who promotes peace, it's simply this: somebody who's receptive to the disciples as they go into a village and they're looking for a place to stay, a home base, you know, while they do all these things that Jesus asked them to do. You find a friendly person who will keep you and who will feed you. That's what we're talking about. So if Jesus has given us this mission to go out and share the good news, number two is we are to be attentive to people who are receptive and welcoming to us. Be attentive to those people who are receptive and welcome to us. In other words, Jesus is not saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go stand on a corner, busy corner of downtown Charlottesville with a megaphone and yell and tell everybody that they're going to hell. He didn't say that. Nor does he say, if you really want to follow me, you need to quit your job or sell your house and go be a missionary in some foreign land somewhere. It doesn't say that. But it does mean that we are going to come in contact with people every day, whether it's at work, whether it's in the neighborhood, whether it's at the gym or up at Walmart. There will be some people who seem to be more welcoming and receptive to us, which means they smile at us. They just kind of look at us in a friendly way. Maybe we engage in small talk. They're just kind people. And these people may be open to spiritual things where we can carry on a conversation with them about God. You know, invite them to church and talk about faith or whatever. We look for those people. Now, it's not always going to be that. Sometimes people are going to blow you off. Right? I remember I had a conversation with somebody, and it was kind of, you know, and I just said, hey, why don't you come over to church? No, I ain't going to go to church. And they were just like, and I realized, okay, I crossed the line. So, all right, so don't go there, right? But I believe that God prepares some people's hearts out there for us as followers of Jesus. He's preparing their hearts for us to kind of lead them and point them in the way of Jesus. And here's the deal. We're not all going to do it the same way, right? God has granted us different personalities. Some of us are shy. Some of us are really outgoing. I remember when I was in my 20s and I was kind of growing, really growing in my faith. I was part of this church that did outreach stuff, and I was connected to a friend. Man, he was just... He always said the right things. I mean, he could sit down and talk with you, and within a minute, he had that person. He went up to somebody at the counter at a restaurant one time ordering fast food, and he goes, oh, you're a believer, aren't you? And the woman smiled and said, yes, I am. You know, it's like, and he could just converse with people. And I remember thinking, man, as I grow in my faith and I really want to be effective for Jesus, I want to be just like him. I wish I was like him. Why can't I be like him? It's simple. God didn't create me to be like him. God created me the way that I am. But we all should be ready to share our faith. Are you ready to share your faith? Are you ready to share with somebody why you think Jesus is important? About how you came to follow Jesus? About the peace of Jesus, if you have it? What does Jesus mean to you? Do you know how to share that with somebody? That's important. And so Jesus says, look out for the people of peace who are receptive and welcoming. Now, here's another thing. That's challenging for me as well. To be on a lookout for people who are receptive and welcoming, because I'm a task-oriented guy. And task-oriented people are all about getting stuff done, right? And so I'm out, you know, I got to get stuff done. And, you know, if God happens to bring somebody my way who is receptive and welcoming, I might miss them because I'm too focused on what I get done, all right? And so for some of us who are task-oriented, that's why I said that we need to be attentive out there as we live our life. Then in verse 8, he says this. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Here we see the crux of the message, that we share the good news of Jesus with other people. And there are two parts of this. There are two parts of this good news of sharing this piece of Jesus. Number one is that we bring help and healing to those who need it. We bring help and healing to those who need it. Folks, there are a lot of hurting people in our world. Okay? There are a lot of hurting people in our world. And part of our mission from Jesus is just to help people who are in need. That's part of the mission. Jesus said, I want you to go out and help people who are hurting. Wherever we find them, in our neighborhood, in our community, we do that as a church, right? We have the Busy Beavers, we have Food Pantry, we have the Helping Hands Ministry. We support ministries that help people around the state and around the world. But he also calls us as individuals as well. We are called to bring help and healing to hurting people in our neighborhood and in our community. And so think about, how can you do that in your neighborhood, in your community? You find out someone has a need, send them a card, you go visit them, ask, what can I do to help? Pray for them, offer to pray for them. Saint Teresa of Avila, a 16th century nun, said this, Christ has nobody now on earth but yours. No hands, no feet, but yours. Yours are the eyes with which Christ looks out his compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now. And then the second part is this, is that we tell people about God's love and forgiveness. We are called to minister and help people that are hurting, but Jesus also wants us to tell people how awesome he is. I think there's a lot of people that are walking around with guilt and shame for the way that they've lived their life. People just feeling miserable. And they fake it, right? They fake it with bravado or whatever. And they live with regret. And they just think, God don't want anything to do with me because God probably mad at me. The scripture says that God puts in every person, God has put the desire, the knowing that there is a God in every person. If you're going to live your life crazy, sooner or later you come to a point you realize, oops, right? And there's a lot of people that know they have done wrong and they just feel like God doesn't want anything to do with them. And they don't feel the peace of God. I was talking with someone not too long ago. Someone near and dear to them is very near the end of their life. And they were questioning their future. And frankly, they just said this. I have done lots of bad things. And they weren't yet convinced that God wants anything to do with them. They couldn't get over that hump. Because they had done so much bad stuff, they didn't think that God wants anything to do with them. Folks, this is why I tell you just about every week, please get to know your Bible. Read about Jesus, because then you could tell the story of the prodigal son and not just say, well, there's some story in the Bible. No, you can tell the story of a prodigal son about somebody who just wrecked his life, wrecked his family, spent his money, you know, just dishonored everything, and yet came back to his father And that's not the story of the prodigal son. That's the story of the extravagant father, isn't it? The story. This is, and so when Jesus tells that story, he's telling the story. He's telling everybody, guess what? This is what God is like. This is what God is like. And then you can tell the story about the thief who was on the cross. He is on his deathbed, and he turns to Jesus and says, I lived a lousy life. Will you accept me? And Jesus, what does he say? You know, well, it's a little late. Jesus says, tonight you'll be with me. It's a story that people need to know. And then there's the Apostle Paul, whose job before he started preaching was what? Killing Christians. He went around killing Christians until God got a hold of him and said, I want you to do something different. People need to know this. This is the love and the forgiveness of Jesus. That's part of our mission, that we convey this to other people, that God loves them, that God is willing to forgive, that God offers abundant life. Finally, one of the instructions that Jesus shares with the disciples we find in verse 4. He says, do not greet anyone on the road. So what's Jesus saying there? We're to be rude? Right? No, we're not to be stuck up and rude. What Jesus is telling the guys, listen, when you go out, I want you to focus on getting to that village because there are hundreds of people in that village that need to hear the whole message. Don't get bogged down by just one or two people on the way that you don't get to the city where you're going to fully deliver the message. And so, number 4 is this. We can't wait. There's a sense of urgency to this mission of Jesus. Friends, as I read through this, I was thinking, you know, this message here in Luke chapter 10, it's coming at a good time for us. Because our country is a mess. All right? You got people on both sides of the aisle disillusioned with the way things are going and wanting to do it their way. The time is ripe. Folks, the time is ripe for us to act like Jesus. The time is ripe for us to point people to Jesus. Because our institutions and our leaders cannot deliver what people are ultimately looking for deep down inside. And so this is a great opportunity for the church and for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus. So if you're serious, if you're serious about following Jesus, he's got a mission for you. Let's go ahead of him and take his message wherever we go. Would you bow your heads, please? I just want you to listen for God as he speaks to you during this time. Maybe this is time to circle back. And if you are honest enough to say, you know what, I don't have the peace of Jesus in my life, maybe this is the time when you humbly surrender your life to Jesus right now. Or maybe as we're talking about this, there's a person of peace that God brings to mind that you might reach out to. You're surrendering your life to Christ this morning. What is one thing that God is asking you to do specifically as you surrender your life to him? If God has brought a person of peace to mind, what is one way you can bring healing or good news to them this week? Talk that over with God. Jesus, you have called us to discipleship. You have called us to go out on this mission and bring your good news to wherever we go. Lord, that's tough and it's a challenge. You know all that. And so we ask you through this, through your Holy Spirit, to give us strength and the courage to carry it out. Lord, would you give us eyes to recognize the persons of peace that you send before us? Direct us with actions and the words to say that will point them to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.